Warning, Star Trek From the Holodeck contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Lock it alone!
Fire.
Holodeck 3 program is reinstated.
Open sesame!
Commander Klingon vessel, we are energizing transporter beam. Now.
Welcome back to Star Trek From the Holodeck, the Short Treks edition. I am Michael Flores, the captain of the USS Rain Man Digital. All hands on deck. Set weapons to full effect. Hello, David.
We have red alert, Captain. Red alert.
We have red alert, Captain. I guess whatever planet you're from, they don't speak proper English.
Yes.
Or is my translator not working?
My it might be the translator.
Universal translator is not working correctly.
It might be broken.
I think so.
We don't have vessels.
Oh, Jesus. Can we start over?
Yeah,
all right. So we're going to be talking about season 2 of Short Treks, episode 5, Ifram and Dot. Synopsis. Ifram, a humble tardigrade, is flying through the mycelial network when an unexpected encounter takes her on a bewildering adventure through space. This episode was directed by Michael Giacchino, and written by Anthony Marinville and Chris Silvestri. Now, the director of this episode is a very interesting pick because he's not a director, nor is he a writer. Nor is he anyone, really, that works on the set. He's a very well-known and talented film composer.
Yes, he is.
So it's very strange that they would pick him to direct. Have you seen any news surfacing as to why he would be the one to direct this episode?
No, I haven't. It's one of those things that I'm like trying to figure out, why did they choose him? But the interesting part is his connection to Star Trek. Because he does have connections to Star Trek, mm-hmm. If I'm not correct.
That's correct.
And
he's actually composed several pieces for movies.
And like when you take a look at this this Star Trek short that they did, it's very reminiscent of those old cartoons where it's like Tom and Jerry, where the whole
1950s, 60s,
yeah. Even the 40s, where
yeah.
The animation was tailored to music. And if you know, the thing I started noticing was
that
the soundtrack,
sense,
the score really played into the storytelling in
yeah.
this short.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It does play a lot like the old classic cartoons from the 1930s and 40s and 50s. Absolutely. And that would actually make sense to have Michael Giacchino to actually direct this, because he is a big name as a composer. And I don't think we've ever seen a composer put on the director's hat like this before. But knowing that music was such an essential part to this episode and how it played out, it was very much entwined within the narrative that I could see why they would say, hey, how about you just direct this episode? We'd like you to compose it, but also, hey, let's have you direct it as well.
Well, I think that basically, like, especially like animation like this is different from the last one, which was the girl who made the stars. In regards of that was more like Pixar, today's type of animation storytelling, where it's very dialogue driven. It's very story driven.
Yep.
But when you take a look at this, this was a throwback to like the old cartoons that I don't want to date myself, but like when I watched the old Disney cartoons,
yeah,
the black and white Disney cartoons, Steamboat Willie.
David, you weren't alive when
I wasn't alive, but I watched those.
But you're not going to date yourself, Dave.
But like,
you're not 100 years old.
I feel like it's.
I don't want to date myself, but I used to watch Steamboat Willie.
But the funny thing is kind of like you don't see those.
I don't want to date myself, but I was around during the Civil War. I still remember it.
I still remember it in the good old days. But
go ahead, Dave.
But honestly, you don't see those type of cartoons nowadays.
No, it was fun. It was a fun throwback, and yet another reason why I enjoy these short tracks, because they can have fun here. You can't really do the stuff like this with the. With the traditional episodes.
No.
At least for the shows they have going on right now, like Discovery and soon Picard. But you can easily see them do stuff like this for kids. We keep hearing that Star Trek, the producers, Kurtzman and CBS, or I should say Viacom CBS, their goal is to infuse Star Trek into the younger audience, because it's the reason why Star Trek was dying out for so many years, is that they never bothered to build a newer audience. They focused on the aging older demo and never bothered to bring in new audiences. And every major franchise, that's what they're always doing.
Yes.
They're feeding the younger demo, and eventually the older demo doesn't even matter to them. They don't care if they're catering to you. They care whether or not they're catering to little Tabby and little Tommy, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 24 years old. That's the people they care about. So I can see them putting together an episode like this for, say, Nickelodeon, because we do know there is a Star Trek cartoon coming to Nickelodeon very soon.
Yes.
So when I see an episode like this, I get a little excited for the Nickelodeon cartoon.
Yeah, as funny as it sounds. Yeah, same here. I get excited about it because you see the potential behind what they can do.
Because this was just fun. There was nothing, again, substantial to it. There was a lot of heart. I will say that. I found myself Team Tardigrade. You know, I was definitely Team Tardigrade, and I felt for that little Tardigrade every time it was trying to protect its eggs, you know, and I did smile and maybe even clap a little bit when, you know, by the end of the episode, she was able to be reunited with her offspring. And I liked it. It was a cute story with tons of heart. And the funny thing about this episode is that we were able to see, or the cool thing, I should say, is that we were able to see a lot of classic moments throughout the history of the original series of Star Trek.
Yeah.
This might be the first official fan service heavy short treks. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. Because if you take a look at all the other short treks, one of the things we've been praising about for a lot of the short treks is their ability to take original storytelling to the next level in regards to Star Trek, but then you get to Ephraim and Dot, and it's a fan service, like fan service fest everywhere.
So let's set it up. The story was relatively simple, as we said, but it worked. You have a tardigrade that needs to lay eggs, and she does aboard the USS Enterprise, and then from there, she loses track of them and spends the episode chasing after the Enterprise through different US Trek timelines.
Yep.
Which also makes sense based when you look at the science behind the mycelial network, at least the Star Trek science and how they set it up. The fact that she's traveling through space and time, and is actually a pretty interesting and thought-provoking story at times. Now, let's go through the timeline, Dave, of everything we saw, all the fan service moments that we saw as the tardigrade was traveling and chasing after her babies.
Yes.
The first thing we saw was the episode from the original series, Space Seed.
Yep. The famous Khan episode.
The classic season one episode of the original series, which first introduced the world to Ricardo Montalban, who played the villainous Khan. And from there, we fly through first three seasons of the original Star Trek with the overt references and scenes from The Trouble with Tribbles.
Yep.
The Ooh. Naked Time, where Sulu uses his sword and
that's
he
like one
has
of my favorite scenes.
No shirt on. Who Mourns for Adonis, which is the giant green hand in space.
Space.
The Doomsday Machine, Big Planet Killer.
Yep.
The Tholian Web, the orange energy crisscross in space, and the Savage Curtain. and that was Space Lincoln.
Yep, Space Lincoln.
Now, all of these references span Kirk's famous five-year mission of the USS Enterprise, which lasted from 2265 to 2270. But because Space Seed is the first shout-out, this whole thing seems to begin around 2267, according to Sci-Fi Wire.
Yes.
Since that, when Space Seed happens. But then again, since time seems to pass differently for Ephraim, the tardigrade, you can make an argument that the asteroid Ephraim is digging on at the very beginning of the episode is a reference to Balance of Terror. Since in that episode, the Enterprise is investigating the destruction of star bases that are constructed on asteroids.
Asteroids, yep.
So if this is true, then Ephraim and Dot could start in 2266, which is also totally corroborated by the Sulu going crazy with his sword in the Naked Time. Because that episode 100% takes place before Space Seed, also in 2266. Now, this is where it gets a little complicated or convoluted, perhaps. Now, if the tardigrade is experiencing a sped up or slowed down version of time passing on the Enterprise, why does the Naked Time appear to occur after both Space Seed and the Trouble with Tribbles? Right?
Yes.
Okay.
If I'm not correct, the reason why we see this little kind of hiccup is because of how the tardigrade travels through the mycelial network.
And I think that's where we can, that's the assumption we can use. We can assume that that's the case, because if we buy that explanation, Dave, that the tardigrade just, time doesn't really have meaning to the tardigrade, which would actually be consistent with what we have seen in Star Trek Discovery. Because we only began to scrape the surface of what the tardigrade and the mycelial network is capable of before they decided to shut it down when they realized what they were doing to this entire ecosystem. But if we buy this explanation, we have that 16-year leap from the Savage Curtain to the Wrath of Khan.
Yes.
Which makes sense.
Yep.
And then we see Ephraim traveling through time as well, because then we are now at the point where we see the famous refit and redesign of the Star Trek The Motion Picture Enterprise. The only thing that, again, maybe I'm reading too far into this, and I shouldn't, because this is a cartoon, it's a little silly, but why would her baby still be on the Enterprise if it's a complete... Oh, is it just a refit?
Yeah, it's just a refit. You got to remember that it was the re-repair of the Enterprise. They didn't just, like, rebuild an entirely new Enterprise.
Right. Yes, and that's why
they refitted her.
And that's why the Enterprise suddenly has that blue deflector dish instead of the orange.
Yeah.
Okay.
And but see, this is why this particular animation is so fun for a true hardcore Star Trek fan.
Yeah.
Because as a true Star Trek hardcore fan, you go, okay, yeah, that's explained by that.
I knew everything that was happening, but yeah. I was just kind of confused by the tardigrade at first. But then when I started thinking about what we know of the tardigrade and the mycelial network and Discovery, then suddenly it makes a little bit more sense, because we go all the way up to the destruction of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Which was Star Trek III, The Search for Spock.
Search for Spock.
When Christopher Lloyd, as the Klingon, you know, destroys the Enterprise.
And then Kirk looks up and says, "My God, what have I done?"
So I dig it. It was fun.
It was a really fun animation.
There's not much more to glean from it other than fan service, but it was a cute story with a lot of heart, and it was a fun little fan service moment. I actually really, really enjoyed seeing all of the little fan service Star Trek nods.
I really did too. And I mean, it shows now that we've seen the two animations side by side, it gets me more excited for what Star Trek can do, because there's essentially, I get now why they released these two animations back to back. It was in order for us to actually see, hey, Star Trek was able to do two different types of animation storytelling and still give us quality work. You know, with The Girl Under the Stars, yeah, we had our issues with it, but the issues wasn't with the animation, and there were no issues with the storytelling.
No, it's just, it wasn't Star Trek.
It just didn't feel Star Trek. However, it's still something that the possibilities of doing a Star Trek type Pixar type animation is still there.
Yeah.
And then you look at something like this where it's more fun and it's more chaotic. It feels like, just like what you alluded to earlier, this fits like you could see this on Nickelodeon. You can see this type of animation on, say, like a, I know that Disney is not connected to Star Trek, but like something like that, a kid's channel, you could see this.
Yeah, it's fun. Again, it just shows all of us what Star Trek can be. And that's one thing I can pick out from every, or I should say, that's the one thing that I can take away from every single episode of Short Treks. You can say, hey, they can actually make Star Trek work.
They can using make Star this. Trek work anywhere.
You really can. You just got to make sure you maintain a few must-haves. And you could essentially tell Star Trek in almost within almost any genre. You know, so.
And I'm just going to say this right now because we're on a Star Trek show.
Okay.
But if I were given a choice, Ephraim or Dot, toys, or Baby Yoda, I'm choosing Ephraim and Dot.
Yeah, I want an Ephraim and Dot as
I
well.
I want my tardigrade and I want my little.
I want a tardigrade.
I want a tardigrade and I want my droid that goes around and cleans everything.
Yeah, I want that, and I also want a 7 of 9 doll as well. A full size, fully operational doll.
I don't think that's for children, Mike.
No, it's not. It's for me.
It's just for me.
All right. We need to wrap this discussion up, Dave. Give me your final thoughts briefly and a score.
Final thoughts on this one. This gets a higher score than The Girl Who Made the Stars. I give this one a 85, it says. Yeah, 85. Honestly, it's a very solid short. It has that reminiscence of the old cartoons that I grew up with, watching the Disney Channel, watching Nickelodeon, and watching, you know, like Tom and Jerry, especially Tom and Jerry. The chemistry between Ephraim and Dot is just fantastic. I like it. I hope they do more with those two. I honestly feel that those two can honestly be like almost perfect mascots for Star Trek in regards to kids. I think they'd be perfect. And I would actually say that the two animations for Star Trek thus far are complete successes. It shows the possibility of where Star Trek can go. And honestly, I'm really excited to see what the creators of Rick and Morty are going to do now. Because if you think about it, we've seen two different types of animation. And I know that Lower Decks is going to be completely different than these two. Lower Decks is going to be probably like the animation that's made for teenagers to, you know, the demographic between the teenagers and 40-year-olds, that the fans of Rick and Morty, that's going to be their animation. And I'm really excited for Lower Decks now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for it as well, Dave. What percentage did you give this?
85.
Okay. I'm going to give this an 84%. 84%. I think that's fair. So I did love this episode. As I said, the story was relatively simple, but it worked. Most of these Short Treks episodes do have very simple stories, except for maybe Calypso. Calypso was one of the few Short Treks episodes that had a very complicated and very detailed and nuanced narrative. These are more simple, but simple does not always mean bad. But what they were trying to do and how they were trying to obviously have fun and give or do a little fan service, it all worked out. And it did feel like Star Trek. I mean, I got a little giddy with those opening seconds when we saw Kirk and Spock and Khan. You know, so points for nostalgia, done right. It's all about nostalgia being done right, and that's how you do it. You don't rely on nostalgia solely. You use nostalgia as a way to crack open that story, and then you tell your own story. And the tardigrade was a separate story. So, loved it, enjoyed it. I'm going to give it an 84%. David, this concludes our discussion on Episode 5 of Short Treks. We'll be back in a few weeks with the discussion on the next and final episode of Season 2's Short Treks. David, thank you.
Thank you. Live long and prosper.
I couldn't help but notice your pain.
My pain?
It runs deep. Share it with me.
End simulation.